God is good.
All the time.
God is good all the time. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. I want to read out of the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel. What does Ezekiel mean?
God is our strength.
God is my strength. Okay, so since... Hey, what are you doing here?
He's snuck in.
Hey, praise the Lord.
I remember you. Wow.
He surprised me. I had no clue.
That is so cool.
Wow. Yeah, I saw him, but I didn't recognize because I always see him. He's here. Hey, praise God. Well, how's the military?
Hard.
Hard. Oh, that's good. That's chair five. That's chair five. I love it. I love it. All right. So, amen. It's powerful. Well, the biggest army we have is the host of heaven. The biggest army we have is the host of heaven. They're watching out over us. Afterward, chapter 43, Ezekiel. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. Even the gate that looketh toward the east. So, the only one who can come in through that gate is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So God alone comes through the front door. This is the millennial in heaven kingdom, which will not be on earth, which will be up in the heaven. And I really don't care if that's true or not, but I have reasons for believing it's true, because it's time bound, and that means it's in time. So it can't be the eternal temple where we'll be in God and God will be in us. It can't be that one because there's no time. That will be the eternal, the new kingdom and the new earth. So the only one it could be, because we've never seen this temple before, the gates on this are not 10 foot wide. They're 150 feet wide. And there's only three gates. The three gates, on the north come the priests. Priests are always interested in not the judgment of the king. They're interested in mercy so that you get a just judgment. The judgment will be just in our case. He will say, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your master with his right hand. With his left hand, everyone else will be thrown into the lake of fire. We'll all be resurrected from the dead, and those some to salvation, others to damnation. So that's the end. That now eternity starts. So that will be the end of time, and that's the last thing is the last judgment. The last judgment means the last. There's no appeal. There's no way out. And so it's eternal death for some and eternal life for others. For us, it'll be eternal life. But you already have it now in your heart. You already have eternal life in your heart. That means you don't live like other men. That means you don't live like other men. First of all, we worship God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. That's first thing. And we do it by faith without seeing it. We just do it by faith. The second one is you love your neighbor as yourself. And you love even enemies. Even our enemies are not our enemies. we're theirs, but they're not ours. We wish only good for them. We bless them. We pray for them. We, you know, forgive them. We only want good to happen to them. We don't want any harm or anything. Now, it's difficult because in the world you have enemies everywhere. Everyone wants to see America knocked down. Everybody wants to see us knocked down. But we have a soldier that won't let that happen. So, not going to happen. So, because of that, God doesn't want us knocked down. He wants us to have revival.
Amen.
The only reason we're having a little bit of nice right now is because he wants the church to wake up to its goal, to its purpose. And so it's easy. You know, Al Qaeda is against us, and ISIS and all that kind of stuff. The homosexual agenda is against us. The moral people are against us. Everybody who wants this to be a nice world and so on, they're all against us. Because we don't believe we do anything good. We believe that God does everything good. So we believe that God made a promise to bless us, not we gave a promise to bless him. Is that different? I don't know. I don't know why that's different. Every other religion is under a law. We're under the gospel. We're under good news. I like the good news because it's really easy for me to let Jesus do it all. I'm just built that way. It's just easy for me to let Jesus do everything he said he's going to do. I don't even know all the fine print. Whatever it is, do it. Just go ahead and do it for me, in me, through me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen? So everything in this world is perfect because Jesus made a promise and he said everything is going to go my way. Amen. Yahoo. So since that's the case, there's no way that you can fail. If you've already won, how can you fail? How can you fail if you've already won? And so we've already won inside. Don't worry about outside. You'll get that later. The inside, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within every single individual that believes on Jesus Christ. What if you believe in Buddha? It doesn't count. They just, man at his best states altogether, vanity, worthless. Your deeds are useless because he doesn't want your deed. His program is different. He wants to do everything for you. He doesn't want you to do anything for him. You can't give something to God that he hasn't first given to you. So all you can give him back is these words. Thank you. That's all you can give him back. Because he did everything. And so all you can do is thank you for doing everything. And for being everything. And for wanting to marry me. I mean, it's awesome. So we now adore, love Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, and strength. Thank you, praise you, adore you, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, no matter who they are. And we're the new creation. We're the new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So, afterward, verse 1, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way to the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, means many nations. And the earth shined with his glory. Wow. That we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that yet. The earth doesn't have that shine right now. But America will save the world. And if not America, then Texas.
Amen.
If not America, then Texas.
Amen.
We draw a line in the sand and say no further. That's enough. Get out. And that's the way Texans are. They know what a horseshoe is. Other nations are sophisticated and, you know, they're all in debt. All the other states are in debt. We're the only ones that have an abundance. We're the only ones that have an abundance. And it won't even stop for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. We have enough oil and gas, and we haven't even touched our coal. We have enough coal. I mean, we have everything in abundance in this godforsaken land. Because Texans, just with the grit of their teeth, many of them criminals, many of them bad people, they came here because the first law in Texas was, if somebody has committed murder in America, don't come here and serve them notice. First law, nobody comes here from any other country and serves on anybody here. In Texas, we're all free. They gave freedom to murderers, whoremongers. It doesn't make any difference what your sin was, how much you stole, how many wives you have. When you come here, fresh start. Now, no other state did that. No other state did that. We came in and proud. The Lone Star State, 1836. So God wants us to go through not the front gate unless you come in through Jesus. If you come in through Jesus, then you could come in through the East Gate. You didn't mention that. I'm kind of adding that to the thing, is if you're in Jesus and you can be married to Jesus, you can go where God goes, because wherever God is, we is. How many know wherever God is, we is?
Amen.
If God is somewhere, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. You go through the southern gate. No, I can't do that. That's the king's gate. You go through the northern gate, and I can't do that. I am a priest king, but I'm a real priest king, not just somebody on the earth that, you know, has to go through their own door, gate. So these gates are huge. These gates has to accommodate a lot of people. So nobody's ever seen a temple this big. It isn't necessarily that it's bigger. It's like Solomon's temple, but the gates are huge, so everybody can come in. All the priests, all the kings. The priests are coming in from the north side because they know about mercy. And the king comes in from the south side because they know about judgment. And your sentence that I give to you is free. You're free. Go this way. So I like that. I like it that it's all figured out, that we always get good news. I'm starting a Head Start program. I'm starting right now to be happy.
Amen.
Today I'm happy. And I'll probably be happy tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Till Jesus comes back. And then he'll get a crown. And I'll get everything Jesus wants me to get. And apparently he's willing to share everything he has. I'll never leave you. So there it is right there. I'm going to be his wife. I'll be the bride of Christ. I've never been a bride before, but it'll be your first time. How many have never been a bride before? Tim, have you ever been a bride? No. It's just, Dan, have you ever been a bride? No. No. See, Raul, you've never been a bride? No. Andrew, you've never been a bride? No. So that's silly. But Alex, you've never been a bride. No. So we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Wyatt, have you ever been a bride? No, you've never been a bride. So, but you're about to be a bride, and we'll all be brides, because everyone will be a son of God. So women will be sons, and we'll be brides, and it's all crazy. How many know God's crazy? He's crazy, completely crazy, because he comes up with things that you've never thought of. Because he knows how the thing is related. He knows everything has to be good. I want my people to have every blessing. And did you know, you already have the blessing today. You've been blessed with all heavenly blessing. I mean, all of it. You can read about it in Psalm 103. It talks about all its benefits and all the things you have. It's all right there, Psalm 103. Read that. So everything is mine. Meum et tuum, mine and yours. Well, in this case, everything is his, is mine. Everything is mine, is his. In other words, Jesus died for me instead of me dying. I sowed sin, he sowed death. Sin, death. And so he died on my behalf. I didn't have to die. So now I can die biologically, but I can't die physically. I cannot die because I have eternal life. You kill me, I'll just jump up again. I just jump up again like the cartoons, you know. The guy lays the little fast bird, you know, just jumps up again. You flatten him out, just jumps up again. So you can't kill a person that is loved of God. Did you know that if God loves you, he's not going to change his mind? If he once starts to love you, the good work I began in you, Jesus said, I will surely complete it. So in other words, you'll be perfected. The time Jesus comes, you'll be perfected. Today you're just on the way. And he is the way to Father's house. He is the only way. So the best has been saved to the last. I wish everybody preached like I preach. I really do. I wish everybody preached like I preach. Because I don't know, I always turn everything into good news. It's just so good. And so I'm perfectly married. I have perfect children. And now number 11 is on its way. So we'll have 11 grandchildren. And so everything is going my way. Even in this world where I don't deserve anything. I deserve nothing. I never qualified. I was completely on the outside. I don't know how I got in. It must be a miracle. I believe in miracles. Do y'all believe in miracles? Amen. Every day miracles happen on my behalf. I'm not even aware of most of them. But I'm aware of a few. To be perfectly married like me, wow, that's a miracle. I would never be married to me and think that was a miracle. Because I'm hard to live with. I can be stubborn at times. Is anybody here stubborn? Little bit, just a little bit. If you're stubborn a little bit, that's enough to keep you out of heaven. But I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Is anyone else here going to heaven? For no reason at all. I didn't do anything. I didn't do zip. I didn't do anything. It's just I believed his word, and he counts that as righteous. So since he counts that as righteous, well, who am I to argue with God? If you think I'm bright, okay, see, it's good. I don't think so. I'm a phony, a fake, a liar, and so on and so forth. But if you like me, okay, too bad for you. And he said, no, I already paid for that. Oh, cool. So I'm perfected in your sight. Did you know in heaven there's no time and space? So if God says something, it's eternal. So he long ago said, I want Jim to be in heaven with me. I'm just focusing on me because I'm kind of like the speaker. So I get to say that. Wow. And if that's true of me, it's true of you. If you're just hearing my voice, there's eternal life floating around out there. Just get it and just take it. Don't have to earn it. Just take it. And since God wants to give it away, I'm taking it. I'm pardoned forever. I'm loved forever. I'm blessed forever. So I'm having fun down here, and it's not even heaven down here. And I'm having a fun time. Amen?
Amen.
Let's say something bad happens. I don't care. I don't care what happens. I'm already free. I'm already at peace. Amen. I'm already blessing everybody and so on and so forth. And I'm so busy blessing, I forget about myself because God takes care of me. And so I don't really worry about it. How many are careless? Means you're less K. You don't have any care. You're carefree. Amen. And careful. I'm full of care, but not mine, his. He cares for me. He cares for me. Tim, you're beloved of God. Isn't that amazing? Do you have to earn it? No. Do you have to merit it? No. Do you have to do good works? No. You might have sinned yesterday. I don't know. I'm just guessing. You might have sinned yesterday, and God forgives it. He forgave it 2,000 years ago. No, he forgave it 6,000 years ago before the earth was.
Yes.
Woohoo! Amen. Isn't that exciting?
Hallelujah.
That's why we sing here, gusto, with gusto, because this good news is so good. I can't believe it. So now we know those three gates. Who comes in from the north?
Priests.
The priests. Who comes in from the south?
King.
One king. Jesus, you'll be king. Since we're in him, we can come in any doors we want because we're also priests. So if we're priest kings, that's in the book of Revelation. If we're priest kings, we can go any doors we want.
Hallelujah.
It's all open. It's all open. We won't need any more mercy because we've already been salvaged. So I'm not really worried about this. I'm not really scared or nervous about it because I've already been promoted to the top spot. Jesus can't leave me, and I ain't leaving him. I ain't going to do it. Why? I don't know. He chose me. He's the first one that's ever loved me unconditionally. He's the first one. He's the first one. First one. You know, it's even I married Peggy, and she was embarrassed by me. I don't know why. She was embarrassed by me because I probably was an embarrassment. And I never stopped being an embarrassment. Still to this day, I'm embarrassing, and I love it. I love being totally disqualified. But yet, since Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's good. Oh, praise the Lord. This Raul is making this place full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move over. He might have more family. So it's great. All right. Now, the next verse, number 3. The earth shined with his glory. That's the Shekinah glory of God. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. This is Ezekiel speaking. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, past tense, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face. Wow. So this guy had a word from the Lord. How many knows he instructs you every day? Every day he instructs you. If you're one of his, he's instructing you every day. So you just open your Bible, there's the instruction right there. And no matter what it says, this is the secret, no matter what it says, he does it for you. And then he does it in you. And then he does it through you. I love this program. It's so easy. You know, my mother, when she birthed me out of wedlock and all that stuff, and when she birthed me, her grandmother, my grandmother, said, abort that boy. If that boy comes to birth, you'll be stuck and you won't be able to finish your career. So my mother did what she said. And so I asked her, well, how many times did you try to abort me? 4. Oh, good. Tell me how I dodged. Tell me how I escaped. I must have gone like this and ducked like this. And she wasn't amused at all. She thought that was a bad thing. Hey, Mom, I'm here. You were a bad aborter. You were very bad. You didn't do what, you know, the people told you. Get rid of that boy. He's worthless. But today, now she's proud of me. Why? Because I became a minister. So she's proud of me. Man became a minister, a man of the cloth. So I used to wear robes and so on. So now I'm just plain. But I used to wear robes. Now I have to wear a tie. I wear a tie because I honor you. Did you hear what I just said? I don't care how you dress. I care how I dress because I honor you because I'm your servant. I'm your servant. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. I love your neighbor as yourself. So when I go overseas, I never dress casually. When I go overseas to meet people who are in the third world or whatever, I dress up every time. It's just like I'm going to meet the President of the United States or whatever. I dress up. I want to wear my best to be a servant, because who would be great in the kingdom of God must be your slave, a servant, having no needs of his own, because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And that's amazing. I laugh at God every day because he meets my needs and I'm not even aware of anything. I'm not even aware of anything. But I have no fear. I have no doubt. I believe. How did I believe? I don't know. I don't know how it worked. I just read the Bible, I guess, or somebody did something. But I got born again one day, and I said, I know that I'm born again, and there is a God, and Jesus is the Son, and I need to confess my sins today because I got a lot of them. But after a while, I got tired, because how many know the flesh gets tired of confessing all your sins? So I just got, and you know all the rest. So it's like, that was a bad way to start, but I've always started in a bad way. And so he was used to me. And so I just started and said, God? And then he asked me this question. God actually spoke to me. Do you want me to have Jesus as your Lord? No. I answered. I want him to be Savior, saving me from all my sins. But the Lord part, I don't want to do that. Because I know what I'll do, God. You know me. I'll sin. And if I say I won't, I know I will. So why should I start out lying? So I don't want you to be the Lord. Just be my Savior. Save me every day. Save me so I don't have to worry about my sin. And I'll get to your other part later, someday. How many know that you can please God by not pleasing him at all? He created you. That's enough right there. Everyone he created, he wrote his name on them. This one's mine. This one's mine. And I believe when I was conceived in the womb, and though mother tried to abort me over and over and over again, and explained all the ways, God said, no, that one's mine. It doesn't belong to the emperor or the pope or anybody. It belongs to me. And so Jesus said, that's one of mine. So she never was able to abort me. She's a bad aborter, a very bad aborter. But my mother didn't think that was funny, but I thought it was funny. Because here I am. And I'm here today. I shouldn't be here today. I should have been dead a lot of times. Because I've been a fool and an idiot and in the flesh a lot. Is anybody more sin than I have? Is there anybody here that has more than I do? Karen, thank you. Dan, thank you. Praise God. You too? Wow, you kind of, every week you're kind of a sinner. And so, I don't really care about sin. If God doesn't care, I don't care. As a matter of fact, he put all that on Jesus. I sowed, he reaped what I sowed. Sin, death, sin, death. I like that arrangement. That is a good exchange. Jim, I will take your sin upon myself and die for you so you don't have to die. Good for you, Jesus. Hallelujah, you're doing a good job. And so he's not offended by my humor. Did you know you can be humorous with God? God's funny. Did you know God's funny? He once said something like this. You swallow camels and then strain out the gnats, you know. You strain out something else. You're supposed to not swallow camels. He was selling them. You're hypocrites. You say you love me, but you don't. And it's okay. I still love you. That's God. He's funny. Don't you think he's funny? Or another time he said, it's like a man who has a coat and it rips. And then he puts a new patch on it. Well, as soon as it rains, that patch will shrink up and the whole thing will be ripped apart. That's funny. He's funny. I think God is funny. If he can love me, he can love anybody. That's funny. That is funny. Amen. How many know you're the hardest person that Jesus ever met? There's nobody worser than you. You're the worstest. But you know what? If God loves you, he can't change his mind. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I like this new thing he's building here. That's just a place that we can meet him. And what is a temple? It's a place where you can meet God. It's a holy place. Mikdash in Hebrew. It's a mikdash. It's a holy place, a sacred place. It's where you meet the living God. If I were God, I would never come to earth. Just wipe it out. But God wanted to give us a way out of our problems. There's no way to get out of here except by death. But he devised another way, except by Jesus' death. That's easy for me. Jesus dying doesn't bother me at all. He wanted to die for me. Good for him. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I have is thanks. I appreciate it. And I don't have to look sorrowful or sad or whatever. I just be me. How many know Jesus loves you exactly as you really are, not the one you pretend to be, you know, a nice person. He just likes you just the way you are. He accepts us as we are. I love that. I love that. That means I can go anywhere in the world and talk to anybody on any subject because I love them. Why? And I want to share the gospel with them. We were with a Jewish couple last night. And, I said, we love Jesus. Jesus loves us, and so on and so forth. And, you know, they don't know what to make of us, you know, because we're not supposed to really be eating with them, but they invited us out. It's too bad for you. I don't feel sorry for anybody because Jesus feels sorry for me. Jesus feels sorry for me or look sad or whatever you want to look. I don't have to be sincere. I don't have to be serious. I mean, no, you don't have to be serious as a Christian. Only Jesus is serious. I don't take myself seriously. I take Jesus seriously.
Hallelujah.
He says he loves me. I believe it. I believe it. And not letting that go. So he loves us as we are. Just as I am without one plea. I like that. No plea. I have no leg to stand on. I have no ground to stand on. Like, I did 3 good things yesterday. I don't have that. I had never done anything good in my life. And you know what? I never will do anything even in heaven. Whatever I do, it was Jesus. Whatever I do, that was Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those 9 fruits of the Spirit, I didn't do them. Jesus does that. And I give him all the glory. And he just turns out and gives me back the glory because I'm the inheritor. I inherit everything he has. Do I get this? This heaven thing is mine? Yeah, that's yours. Wow. That's incredible. So nothing good has been withheld from his beloved. Me. How many here are his beloved?
Yes.
Say me.
Yes, me.
Me. Yeah, we're all his beloved. What'd you do? Nothing. Just for yourself. Sin all you want. I'm not exhorting you to sin. You will anyway. I'm not exhorting you. I'm just saying, if you sin, it's forgiven. Did you know that? Now, here's what the Bible says. Make no provision for the flesh. Once I did. 2 times I think I did. Maybe every nanosecond I did. You know what? Jesus is not disturbed by that because he never wanted me to do anything good. He wanted to do everything good for me. He's good. I'm not good. No one else is good but God, saith the Bible. So if no one else is good but God, Karen, you can't be good. And you married a no good husband. Dan is no good. But you're no good too. So 2 no goods get together and it works. How does it work? Because Jesus. Jesus loves everybody. Everybody. Buddhists, Hindus, witchcraft people, Satanists. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves everybody equal. But they didn't do any good works. You didn't either. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks. I forgot who I was. Yeah. You can't judge other people with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. So I can't judge somebody else for something that I haven't got around to doing, but I was going to do it sooner or later because something might come up. Not worried about a thing. How many know with Christ, you don't have to have any worries?
Amen.
You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be nervous. You can just be yourself. And what happens to you? Well, Jesus loves you. So let the one who loves you initiate the whole thing. Let him come to you and say, I'd like you to be my wife. I accept it. Yahoo! Imagine, he's the one that created the world, and he's the one that redeems the world, and he's the one that saves me and redeems me and cleanses me off for all in righteousness and perfects me in love. And you just, everything, do it, Jesus. That's not something I could do. Has anybody noticed that? That you're really helpless without God. I mean, that's kind of humbling to say. Well, you are. You are helpless without God. If God doesn't love you, there ain't nobody's going to love you. If God doesn't love you just the way you are, you don't have a chance. But since he does, his problem, he wrote it down. I can read it in the book. Here, he loves everybody. Wow, and I'm part of the everybody. How many here are part of everybody? Amen. You know, you're just another person, but God loves every person. He didn't die just for Christians or Jewish people or nice people or friendly people. He died for everybody. So since he died, I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying you will anyway. Even if you do it outwardly or doing it inwardly, it doesn't matter. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Since that's true, all, that would include Christians too. Even Christians sin. Did you know some Christians will sin against other Christians? It's amazing. Some Christians hate other Christians more than they hate Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or Confucianists. Some Christians get a delight out of criticizing other Christians. Did you know that? What's our response? Raul, you know the answer to that. What do you do if somebody is that kind of bad person? Pray for them. Bless them. Forgive them. Have mercy upon them. Why? Never curse anybody. Wow. You'd be a new creation. You'd be kinekatesis means a new of a different kind, not natural like anything else. New kind of ball, new kind of life, new kind. So, you're born again. Born again of the Spirit. Now, you all have the Spirit of God living in you. You've been born of the Spirit. You're no longer the flesh. Now, everyone sees the flesh, but they don't count it. And if they do, that's their problem. Maybe they see my flesh and are critical of me. Good. You're very sharp. You're very astute that you noticed all my wickedness and sin. But doesn't bother me because it doesn't bother Jesus. And Jesus likes me. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. So, because of this Bible, I'm free. The Catholic Church doesn't have that. In the Catholic Church, you have to behave. They have to behave. They don't believe. They believe that Jesus loves you, but then you have to respond in showing some niceness to somebody else. I don't believe in that. I've never been nice, and I don't intend to be nice, and for all eternity, I will not be nice, but Jesus, who loves me, he will be nice for me. And then in me, and then through me, and to God be the glory. Woohoo! I don't know, you're kind of sitting there like bumps. Did you understand what I just said? That's good news.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to be anything. You already are belonging to Him. He wrote that on your heart with His finger. That's on your conscience. Everybody violates their conscience. Jesus forgives it.
Praise the Lord.
And gives you again that the spirit which Adam and Eve ruined right away. They just immediately they ruined that thing. And everybody now is darkness in their heart. But Jesus gives you a new heart. First thing He does. Don't just do it from the body. No, let's start. Give them the new heart right away. And the new heart then reaches out to the soul until it's dead. And then it reaches out to the body so that you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. To God be the glory.
Amen. Praise.
That's how you do it. You don't do it by effort. You do it by no effort at all. Amen? So the people that work the heat of the day, remember them? Worked 8 hours a day for a denarius. That's one day's wage. Whatever you make in one day, that's the wage you paid them, the denarius. And so the guys that work 1 hour, they were paid first by the guy. Here's your denarius. What? The guy that worked 8 hours, we'll get 80 then. Because we worked 8 hours or something, They knew, wow, that's good. They got one. And then he noticed the second guy got a denarius and the third guy, hey, what are we going to get? Oh, that would be unfair. That's not right. Now all of a sudden they were lawyers. That's not right. And then Jesus gave them the same denarius. And Jesus said to them, we made a bargain with you, remember? That you will work for a denarius. You will work for a denarius. And no matter how many hours you work, you all got the same thing. Well, that's not fair. We bore the heat of the day. We've been Jewish for years. You Christians are Johnny come latelys. I mean, how'd you get in? How did you get in here? So they were ticked. They were ticked. Especially when they realized we're not going to get anything out of this guy. So they complained to him. But Jesus said to them, don't you know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Well, we want the kingdom. We want the money. How many know you can either have God or mammon? Which do you want? God or mammon? I'll take God, because with Christ Jesus, He freely gives you all things. Ah, wow. You get Jesus, you get everything. Woohoo! I'm happy. You know why I'm happy today? Because Jesus loves me. I am. And I get everything. Wow. I don't even have to work for it. I was born in the right family.
Amen.
I was born in another family, not my mom who wanted to abort me. And by the way, her pride in me later, when I didn't die, when I was born. And I was such a bad kid, she said, that even when I was a baby, I was already making her feel guilty. I think that was her guilt, not my baby thing, because babies, they don't know nothing. But they called me a bad seed. But you know what? I wasn't a bad seed. I was actually beloved of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then later, she changed her mind on that. Same thing as my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Peggy's parents. They didn't like me at first because, is this guy going to be a perpetual student? Because he's earning degrees after degrees and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
When is he going to work? And so before we got married the next day, they were talking that night. This guy, shouldn't we say something to her or something? Because she's going to be ruined. This guy is lazy. He likes degrees. I mean, he loves these. He's collecting them. And I knew that if I got 7 degrees, I'd have more than anybody else. That's not true, because there are people at 30 and 40. But I thought it was true at that time. I said, wow, that's amazing. Knowledge is power, I thought. Knowledge is power. So I get the more degrees and the more big words I know, the more they pay you. So I know all kinds of big words and languages and so on. It's like, wow, this guy will do well. Well, here I am, a poor pastor. And I love it. I love being a poor pastor. Mom.
Thank you.
say how they changed their mind.
Ah, yeah, how they changed their mind. Well, as they watched us grow, and, you know, we didn't do Santa Claus and, you know, Halloween and all that.
They didn't like that.
They didn't like that. And so they kept sending us Santa Clauses and everything for the kids, you know, for the kids. It's to throw them out. We're not doing that. So I was stubborn. But anyway, later on, they realized as we raised our kids were well behaved. They still are. They still are. All my kids, they're awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bragging on them. I'm just saying they don't have two agendas. Jesus, that's it. Yeah. That explains Margaret and David and Kirsten and Cara. It explains them all. Yeah, Peg.
Well, my father, though, my father had wanted to be a preacher, but he kind of so anyway, when he saw Jimmy preach, he would say, he has them in the palm of his hand.
He may yes. That's good.
That's great.
Her father was one of the greatest steel. He was the head of the steel. I mean, he made the steel. He was the
awesome.
You know, the guy over all of it. I mean, the real work, the sweating down there in the steel factory and so on and so forth. And so the chrome on your car was made by his company in Pennsylvania. And that big steel place right there, and they lived across from Heinz Ketchup or something like that. It's right there. It's down the river. Their house is way up on the hill. You know, look down at the river, and there's Heinz right there, where they make the ketchup.
Yeah.
And so, but all the steel mills were all over the place. Now, so he was a great guy. He wanted to be a pastor like me. But it's a great story. It's a great story. How Peggy was born, and she had something or other. How were you born? Did you have the thing around your neck or something?
The cord on my chest.
On what?
The cord around her chest.
The cord was around her chest, and so she was going to die. And so he went to his Presbyterian minister and said, I want you to baptize her. There's, you know, they've given up all hope. There's no hope. And she's going to die. I don't want her to die. And so he said, no. Because they believe in double predestination. Either he predestined you for heaven or hell. So don't worry about that. It'll work out all right. And he said, no. And he became a Lutheran after that. Because the mother was a Lutheran.
That's
said,
great.
I'm going to your church right now. Ask him if he'll baptize this girl. He baptized her. Now he's a Lutheran. So that was powerful.
It is.
Changed his whole religion. I mean, that's a life changer since he was going to be a Presbyterian minister.
Right.
And wow. So he gave all that up.
Wow.
And so it's neat. How many know that God arranges your life?
Amen.
Everything in your life is meant by design.
Yeah.
I don't care what you thought you did. You didn't do anything. You sinned. Yeah, that part's you. But God forgave the sin and is now blessing you.
Amen.
That's amazing. I should have been aborted. I should have died many, many, many times. And I'm not dead. Yahoo!
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm having a good time. You know, I'm not one of those dour ministers that, you know, come and give you bad news. You always can tell the minister in the, you know, in the airport or something like that. I'm not going to be like that. I may ruin the whole deal, but I'm not going to be like that. I'm having a good time, and I'm always going to have a good time. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
So my joy is unspeakable because of what Jesus did for me. I can't get him out of my mind because he loves me, and I talk to him every day, and he talks to me. It's powerful. And so he said, do this chapter. So let's get back to this chapter. And the glory of the Lord, verse 4, came into the house by the way of the gates whose prospect is toward the east. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Amen.
Did you know that in the Old Testament, when they built Solomon's temple, they built it and they had all the singers and all the trumpet players and everything where they were all ready to go in and celebrate. And God put smoke in the house and they couldn't enter. So that he wanted the glory to be his, you know, unto him and not people. So he eliminated all the people. So Solomon had quite a prayer that day. I mean, that was an amazing prayer. We built this thing for God and he's not impressed. It's like, whoa. How many know that man-made structures are not what God's into?
Come on.
He's into human structure. He's restructuring you right now. He's restructuring everybody here today so that you'll be perfect.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to see it. You just believe it. You don't have to see it. You just believe it. Are you perfect?
Yeah, I'm perfect.
Are you perfect?
I'm not, yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Are you perfect?
In God.
That's it. In God. Because God made a promise. And he'll keep his promise. Everybody here is perfect. In the eyes of God, you're perfect. Because he created you. And now he's going to redeem you. And then he's going to perfect you. Get rid of all your sin. Boom. You'll be perfect. And you'll only be lovers. There'll be no more faith, no more hope. When he comes back, you'll see him as he is. King of kings and Lord of lords. And you'll be his bride. And you'll inherit everything in heaven. Everything is yours. I think he saved the best till the last. I don't think, you know, people are tired of this world. And, you know, there are no leaders in the world today and so on and so forth. And, you know, Trump is trying his best and so on and so forth. But I don't look to Trump, you know, because he doesn't have my job.
Yeah.
This is the best job. This is the best job, is to be able to tell the people the good news. I can tell anywhere I want to. Wherever he goes, he has to have guards around him and so on. I don't have anybody. Nobody cares about me. So I can go anywhere I want. And I do. I can go anywhere I want, and I do. And I don't have any enemies among the Jewish people or among the Pharisees or among the Al-Qaeda people. I don't have any enemies. They may hate me, but I don't hate them for hating me. I don't hate them. I love them. I'm praying for them. I'm blessing them. And they can ask you all kinds of questions, but just something will come in your mouth and you just say, "We're only here to look, listen, and love." That became the headlines in Mozambique the next day in the newspapers. They only came here to love, listen, learn. It just come out of my mouth. They said, "Well, what is your purpose and motive for coming here?" To love and listen and learn. So we can help out. And so that was, and the guy was a Marxist. He was a Marxist. Samora Machel. And they killed him, and I was the last person he was coming to see. He was in another country, and they flew him, and the Russians were on the airplane, and it was a Russian airplane, and the Cubans were on the airplane, and they killed him because he's dealing with Christians. Kill him right now. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Don't you see that? And so I never did see him, and I went to the ambassador, Peter John DeVos. I went to him and said, "What do we do now? Because the president was our friend. He liked me, and I liked him. And we have a video of all of this, me walking through his palace, hand in hand." And he said, "Now, Pastor, I want you to know that Jesus loved the poor." He was a communist. "Jesus loved the poor." And I said he did, and that's why he died for their sins. "And you have sins too. He died for all your sins." I like to witness to presidents. And I've met quite a few, and I love it. Why? What do you do? Because you're speaking to the ruler of those people, and he's a tyrant, and you can change him. You can make him not a tyrant. And Mobutu in Zaire, now it's the Congo, but it was Zaire at the time. And he also, I told him, "Mobutu, the CIA did not put you in place. which they did. Jesus put you here and gave you all this millions and millions of dollars and billions and so on and so forth. That's so that you could bless the people. So take some of your money and give it to the people. He wasn't interested in that idea. You know, pay your troops. They're gonna be a riot someday, and all the troops are going to come get you. So, you know what you need? Be born again. And he said, I spoke in French. Mais non. I said, you're not a Christian. Je suis chrétien, he said. I am a Christian. Mais non. Vous n'êtes pas chrétien. What? He was like surprised, so he called somebody over to say, tell him I'm a Christian. I've done everything to protect you. And all the Jesuits want to kill you and so on and so forth. And I've protected you. I was at his mother's funeral and all this kind of stuff. And so he said, no, you don't protect me. Jesus protects me. So I witnessed to him. Peggy was right there. Mm-hmm. I witnessed to him. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior because your face is dirty. You are hated by people. But I can clean your face up, bring you to America, and, you can get on the 700 Club or whatever, and, tell your story that you're now Christian. It'd be great. But he turned me down. And I thought, well, this guy didn't receive the gospel, so he's finished. And I never went back. That was the last time. But 2 years later, the ambassador that I created here for Dallas, nobody has had two ambassadors. He had one in Washington and another one here. And I created him. I said, we want one here for Ross Perot and business people here. Because I used to take groups and so on. And so then he said, when he lost all his money, it was right here in the Thanksgiving Tower. I know where his money is. I know who the people were who had it. And they stole it all. It doesn't matter to me. I don't need money. I got Jesus. How many know that you're never in want with Jesus? I don't care how things happen. They could be bad. If Hillary were president now, it'd be bad. But so what? I love her. I pray for her. I'm blessing her. So don't worry about that. I don't care who's president. Jesus is in charge. There's no other God. Jesus is God. So let it be bad as bad. Actually, I actually make a lot of progress when things are bad because people get desperate when they lose their money and their jobs and so on and so forth. They want to have hope. I got the message right here. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. So anyway, the glory of God filled this house. And I heard him speaking to me, verse 6. Out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. Neither will they nor their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in high places, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and their wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name in their abominations, that they may have committed. Wherefore, I will consume them in my anger. But now, let them put away their whoredoms and away the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. And thou, son of man, show the house to the house. In other words, show the house of the Lord to the house of Israel. Show the house to the house. Show them my house, this temple that I'm talking about. Show them that. That's their future. Israel has a bright future. Israel will never perish. Even though there'll be a tribulation and they'll be in the midst of it. And even though the majority will be destroyed, the majority will be destroyed, yet after God judges, he always, always delivers the righteous. Always. And out of that will come the priests. And out of that will come the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, and that's how you're made king. You're after the order of Melchizedek. Did you know that? You were born again. When you're born again, now you're after the order of Melchizedek. Now you're a priest king. In other words, you can go to God and his mercy is upon you. And you can go to the king and say, give me a just judgment. And he has to do it. There's no way. There's no way you can fail. You are a fail-safe people. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Now, let's have a testimony. I think this was awesome.
Amen.
Let the house speak to the house. Show them my house. Let them talk to my instructions and my decrees and my promises. Give them all that. So the best is yet to come. How many know Dallas is going to play a role?
Amen. Hell yeah.
Dallas will play a role in the end time revival.
Praise the Lord.
You haven't seen it yet. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You want to be part of it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you are. Whether you want to or not, you are. Because it hasn't happened yet, but it's about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care when and how. I don't direct God. He directs everything.
He does.
But the Lord wants you to be part of what God's doing. And he doesn't hide anything from his children. Are you his child?
Yes.
Well, he won't do anything without telling you what's going on. He shares everything with his children.
Glory.
So you're his children. So that's exciting.
Amen.
To be one of the children of God. Boy, that's a high title. Son of God. We're all sons of God. We're all brides of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're all priests. We're all kings. We're all everything. Whatever Jesus is, we is. If Jesus is, we is. I love that. So whatever he is, I is. I like being is. He am, I am. Tell him my name is I am that I am. Well, so I am. I am, he says in the New Testament. You am. You are what? The salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are
Hallelujah.
The dwelling place of the living God. Oh, that's who you are. You can say that. I am.
I am.
I am. I'm all, whatever he says, I am. Whatever he is, I is. That's it.